going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company, with Ned Michaels and Barney Allery.
You know what? The sun may be going down. It may be. It was going down on the match this past weekend. I don't know if you saw it on Sunday. It looked like we weren't going to get any golf in through the rain, through the storm. But eventually we got the match in, and it was the highest rated cable telecast of a golf event in the history of cable television. Absolutely insane. And we're here to unload and unpack everything that happened. We're also going to look ahead to the PGA Tour season, some updates out of Europe. They're going to crank up the engines here on the European Tour before long. And a lot of other side news and notes in the world of golf. And that's why it's Global Golf Radio. Ned Michaels, I'm not really alongside, although I wish I were. I miss being alongside him. My partner in this endeavor, Barney Allery. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I miss seeing you. I miss, like, just being able to laugh and kind of carry on in studio.
I know. But hopefully, again, with every passing week, soon enough, I haven't been to the studio. I'm sure you haven't either, and it's got to be pushing about 2.5 months now. We still don't know if our security cards are still going to work or not. I guess we'll figure that out some other day, though.
615-737-1045. That's the number to call in. We always appreciate your calls. Dylan's out there giving us updates on what's happening in Metro Golf and the litter problem that I think has been somewhat remedied over the past couple of weeks. I'd like to think, Barney, that we had something to do with that. Mainly it was Dylan, but we were a conduit for the conversation anyway. And, hey, before we forget, Ryan Albanese, thank you for what you're doing. If you haven't been with us the past couple of weeks, Ryan Albanese is our courageous producer who's going into the studio. He's the only guy in studio, and he had to postpone his wedding because of the coronavirus. So sacrifices being made on his part, and Ryan Albanese, thank you very much. By the way, Ryan Albanese, do we have any idea when we're going to be able to come back in studio? We'll see. You know, Barney, it's like one of those questions you ask your kid, and they hear you, but they just, they can't respond.
No, I think you came on, Ryan, to go ahead.
All right, so if you can hear me, I have heard nothing yet about when we can come back or when you guys can come back.
Okay.
All the other shows are back, Barney. They're just not letting us in.
That sounds about right.
Oh, my goodness. All right. What'd you think of Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and the match two?
So, Ned, I think I'm introducing a brand new segment right now, and the name of this segment is Ned, You Were Right.
Nailed it.
Because last week, this has been years in the making for us to come to the realization that sometimes you are right. And you were right last week when you said that match at Seminole felt like an undercard. And just to kind of get the thing going and give us a little taste. And the match that took place this past Sunday, I thought was phenomenal. Now, I will tell you that I was extraordinarily concerned and in disbelief when the cameras got started, how much rain was taking place. And in that moment, if you also happened to have turned on your weather app and looked at where else in the United States was raining, nowhere else in the United States was raining, but in the general area, in the 100-mile circle of Jupiter, Florida. And should we be any surprised as 2020, the way 2020 has gone on, that in that afternoon, in that moment, on that piece of property, of course it was going to rain. But in the meantime, I thought that the match was fantastic in so many ways.
And, of course, it was perfect the day before. But in a way, the rain actually added to the ambiance of it. It made you focus a little bit more. It made you listen to what the players were saying. And thank goodness they had the shot tracer, because otherwise you never could have seen any of the shots.
Oh,
I mean, really,
yeah,
truly, we just had Jeff Newbarth on. He was the producer for the match. He works at Turner, and he's executive producer over at Callaway Golf. They did an incredible job. They absolutely nailed it. And he was saying that they only had 10 cameras. And so I like this new segment, by the way, this new idea that Ned was right. It'll probably be only uncorked a couple times a year, but it's like a fine wine. You really have to sit and sip it and appreciate it. Because do you remember, it may be 2 years ago now, I need to go back and somehow find this episode. Do you remember when I came to you all live on the air and I said, Barney, I'm getting ready to give you one of the greatest ideas of all time. And I had already pitched it to CBS and I already pitched it to the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
And I said, here's the idea. It kind of starts with Tuesday practice rounds. You're going to mic up the players. You only need two, maybe three cameras. You have a broadcaster on the ground and one in the booth. And we're going to follow these guys for nine holes as they play a match in the practice round. And then it went on to need to be like a heavyweight boxing type of setup where the number one player in the world takes on the number one contender. And throughout the season, they pick up points. And at the very end, you might have a tournament. But this was the idea that was pitched. And I told you, I know I'm not going to see anything from it. I'm not going to make any financial gain. I'm just hoping to get a little piece of the pie from a broadcasting standpoint. I don't know if that's going to work out. Maybe. So maybe I was right. Maybe I was wrong. The idea was good. At least somebody picked up on it.
Well, another thing that I'm sure you will never get any financial compensation for, but another little thing that in your broadcasting history was something about, weren't you the one that said something about Tiger Woods letting loose like the smoke wagon or something like that? Didn't you say something like that?
Yeah.
And as I recall it, within weeks, I'm glancing at something on Facebook or other, And some guys making like these Tiger Woods t-shirts, one of which, as I recall, was something about glutes firing or something like that. And then another one was something about the smoke wagon.
Smoke wagon.
Like, hey, I know the guy that said that.
I didn't get paid for that one. Maybe I was right. Maybe that should be the segment. I was right, but wrong. I was kind of right.
But in the meantime, when you say about the Pro Tracer, Tom Brady, if you're about a 10 handicap or so, and you know, you wonder about the quality of your game from time to time, Tom Brady, that unless you're a New England Patriot, has absolutely tormented, at times tortured, at times embarrassed your team. And to get to watch him on that piece of property with the Pro Tracer, where he had basically gotten to where I was telling one of my nephews, he's going to hit it to the right unless he hits it to the left, because he's not going to hit it where he's looking at. And then as the whole thing then unfolds, that he then has this magical moment and he holds out, and then he rips his pants. I am telling you, for finally one Sunday afternoon, not necessarily in the fall or in the winter, but on this Sunday afternoon, if Tom Brady's ever tormented and tortured and embarrassed your team, what a glorious Sunday afternoon this past Sunday was.
And I love the line that he said to Chuck, you know, I mean, you're ready for football. We don't care. We really don't care. Now we're getting to see, there's just a little weakness in this perfectly looking handsome man who's married to a 10 out of 10 wife with, you know, the perfect life kind of deal. And I'm a Broncos fan and a Titans fan and grew up in Atlanta. So that by de facto and default makes me a Falcons fan. I mean, tortured, tormented, all the words you use, he's done them all. So I was happy to see Big Tom struggle a little bit. And I think actually a lot of people were, and I think that added to some of the enjoyment that people were getting out of this thing.
Ned, never forget, no matter how bad a day you've had, no matter how bad a day you will have, always ask yourself, did I rip my pants on a Sunday afternoon on live national television? And for most people, the answer is no. That's never happened to me. But it happened to him. So there you go. And if that alone, if you keep that in the back of your mind when you're struggling, having a bad day, you know what? At least I've never split my pants right in front of the camera. If that can put a smile on your face, then good.
I was talking to Jeff in the show before Michaels and Mueller here. And again, Jeff, if you just joined us, Jeff Newpark, the producer for the match. The match one and the match two, by the way. I meant to ask him what he learned from match one to utilize and make match two better, and I totally forgot. But my neighbor is a conspiracy theorist. Was saying that much like your Rory McIlroy, Matthew Wolff scenario, where they didn't show the final shot of that right. match except for once. My neighbor's theory is that the shot that Tom Brady holed out really wasn't his shot. It was some cut to that they had recorded earlier or something, because it was 150 yards out, Tom Brady with a 9-iron, and it landed and cue balled backwards and spun backwards. Like, it looked like Tiger hit a wedge, and it went in the hole. And obviously, I don't believe it, but Jeff, of course, laughed at it and scoffed at it, that if I had the resources, you know, no chance I could do that. But he did raise a good point, if you're a conspiracy theorist, that you think Tom Brady spins 9-irons like that?
I've got a feeling that he swiped across this thing, that he came in crazy steep, left with the face wide open, swiped across at something fierce, and then that it caught some kind of a backslope and spun like you wouldn't believe. And under normal conditions, I'm very confident he cannot spin a ball like that. But these were not normal conditions. And again, hey. I got a feeling that he amplified just because of sheer nerves. That again, the club came in so steep left with the face wide open, and this thing was spinning off the world.
He does not think that irons are easy.
For a little while there, nothing was easy for Tom.
And I enjoyed it, I have to admit. I enjoyed watching him struggle. I really think if you took a poll of anonymous viewers, do they enjoy watching Tom Brady struggle? And I bet all of them are going to, well, not all of them, that's a big bet. I'm not going to make that bet in Mississippi, I promise you that. The majority of them would say, heck yeah, because golf's hard. And an 8 or a 10 handicap can look like that on any given day.
And so I have to believe that for Tom and Peyton Manning, when they're getting ready to tee off, that's when it hits them to realize, oh, wow, this is different than anything we've ever done. Don't forget the Peyton Manning quick sniper hook right off number one. And so he got off to a little bit of a shaky start as well. But then eventually, wow, did he redeem himself. And he had some magical moments. And Tom as well later in the round, maybe more so on the back nine, and did very, very well. He had some fantastic moments himself. But when you mentioned in the opening about how dark it was at the end, that's because it took so long to play the front, because they were looking for golf balls. We needed rulings. The front nine was taking absolutely forever. But in the meantime, I thought Peyton Manning again came through shining. Again, Tom Brady, I think he redeemed himself. And as much as I enjoyed those two, and that they're both, of course, NFL rivals, I also was left wondering, what if Michael Jordan would have met, let's say, been in the place of Tom Brady potentially, and how the ratings would have been affected then?
So many things to unpack here, because it was really interesting looking and hearing how Phil Mickelson thought about shots, how Tiger thought yeah. about shots, how they articulated what they were yep. thinking, what they were feeling, how they were coaching their partners, just completely different approaches. And you wouldn't think maybe Phil, because he's such a field player, so scientific. I definitely want to get into that. I've said it multiple times, but it bears being repeated. This is the most viewed golf broadcast ever on cable television, mm-hmm. including Tiger in the comeback. Now, wow. I understand the context of where we are in the corona quarantine, lack of live sports. I get all of that. But that's amazing. And I wonder if they have a NASCAR similar format, does that captivate such an audience? And I just don't think it does. Maybe if mm-hmm. I don't think their names are, you had to have Tiger. And I was thinking about, I was looking at the top 20 players in the world. Okay, who else could you go with on this thing? Well, you got to have Tiger. And certainly you got to have Phil. And the first two renditions and iterations of this thing. I've said that you need to have Patrick Reed, you need to have Sergio Garcia, you need to have Ian Blaipoa. You've got to have some genuine animosity, is too strong of a word, but you really got to have a desire to win that is irrelevant of the money that's on the table, whether it's for charity or whether it's for private dollars. But these, they did this in a very amiable way. All these guys wanted to win, and they genuinely wanted to win, but they did it in a fun way instead of a mean-spirited way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, more people watched this thing than any episode of The Last Dance about Michael Jordan and the Bulls. So I'm curious how you consumed it. Did you watch it live? Did you record it and watch it live and record it, or did you just watch it recorded? So that's where we're going to go next on Global Golf Radio. Later in the show, by the way, Craig Ray, our man from Mississippi, he's going to be with us to fill us in because they opened last week. They were open for bets on the match, but he's going to fill us in on everything that is happening down there. Stick with us, Global Golf Radio.
Hers and his plug.
You're right, Bunny. You're absolutely right. Barkley was great. He was great. He really was. I had some concerns that he might try to kind of force the humor and play the card a little too hard that he was dealt and be the funny guy. And sometimes when you try to be funny, it just falls flat on its face. I felt like he didn't try too hard. Felt like he had just the right amount of levity. He was self-deprecating. He knew the players well enough where he could needle them. And, of course, the magic moment was as he's needling Tom Brady holds out from a buck 50. Hmm. It was awesome television. It was entertaining. Maybe because we're desperate. I don't know. Maybe because we love the game. Maybe because it's for the greatest of all time. Whatever it was, the equation was perfect. They literally nailed it. And they delivered in trying conditions. It was just ridiculously terrible conditions, rain and wind and just impossible conditions. But the broadcast team did it. It was the most watched cable broadcast ever for a golf event. And I'm curious, Barney, how did you watch it?
Well, so that's it. So full disclosure that we had a little family gathering on Sunday afternoon. And so I got to see it, but I didn't get to hear it. And when Tom Brady is hitting one shot after another, not within 50 yards of where he's looking, how appropriate for Barkley to go terrible, terrible, terrible. That was terrible. I thought that would have been fantastic. And speaking of going back to Barkley again, after the thing was done and he played that one hole where if he made a birdie, I think he was going to think there was going to be a $500,000 donation, par for $400,000, and bogey for $300,000. Did you notice no hitch in the swing? No hitch in the swing. So I was rather impressed by that.
It was such an interesting psychological study of what golf does to somebody under pressure. I watched it. So I went over to Franklin Bridge, took my kids over there, and they were having a watch party. And, of course, the thing was delayed 45 minutes. So trying to get your kids to wait 45 minutes to watch golf on television. Turns out it's rather difficult, as you might imagine. But we had some nice nachos. We had a barbecue sandwich. We had hamburger, cheeseburger, the whole deal. We had a dessert. And then I took them out, and we hit some balls. Came back in. Watched one hole, and then, as you know, I like to watch the broadcast. I like to hear what the commentators are saying. I like to be in a quiet environment for golf events and really all events, sporting events. I like to actually listen, and not having the sound on always annoys me. So it was a little bit hard to hear, although they did turn the volume up. It was more of a me thing. I was ready to get home and get on the sofa. So I DVR'd it and kind of caught up through commercials. But I wonder how many people recorded it, watched it live, and then went back and watched some of the moments again and listened to some of the needling. Because the commentary from the broadcast team, but also from the players, was, I mean, if you had to really pay attention, because Tiger was flinging out some cards, but they were on the down low. You had to, but they were great. I mean, he's just.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, who would you want in there? Who else would you want in there? You mentioned Jordan.
Yeah, so Jordan would be one of the first ones that I would think of. And And then keeping up with the basketball, naturally, Steph Curry, that could be a possibility as well.
Yep.
What about Barney Allen? We need to make T-shirts that say irons are easy.
Yes. And something else that I want to get to, and Tori, if you're out there and you happen to be listening, so Tori, I'm not going to say he gave me a hard way to go, but he very firmly disagreed with my comment of the previous week that I'd said that the golf course at Seminole, the mystique of Seminole has now been shattered, and I was absolutely unimpressed with that piece of property. And now, as they play this event at Medalist, well, now, Tori, again, if you want to disagree, you're more than welcome to, and I'm not that hard to find. You can reach me at 615-594-8022. You can also find me on Twitter, at Simplifying Golf. But I am here to tell you that in my eyes, any hole at Medalist is better than every hole out at Seminole.
I mean, I've not played either, so I can't really debate that. But I will say, on television, Medalist won.
Oh, by a landslide. It wasn't even close. Not even close. And again, you're such a diplomat. You're so nice and kind and polite and stuff. But the reality is, Seminole to me on TV, extraordinarily unimpressive. Medalist, on the other hand, if you gave me the opportunity to play Seminole five times and play Medalist once, I'll take Medalist once and then never even look back, not even think twice about it.
Well, the Medalist looked pretty long, right? There were a handful of holes that were over 500 yards, par fours, or right at 500 yards, 475, with the breeze and with the rain. But it also looked like there were scoring opportunities. And I loved some of the complexities of the green when on the par fives. When you get up to the greens, they were small. They were kind of angled at weird. I don't know. You really had to think your way around the golf course. And again, when you have the contrast between the white sand and the palm trees and the green grass, it's beautiful. Whereas Seminole had it, but again, it didn't come across as well. But I also think, Barney, the match was way more exciting. You had Tiger, you had Phil, so you were more amped up for it. Like I said, it was the main card versus the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, in a way, you look through a different lens. You look through a lens that you're excited about this one, where the other one, maybe not.
I think that the piece of property they were playing on also absolutely helped in the situation, and I think was well appropriate. There's no way you can tell me that Seminole is a better piece of property than Medalist. And again, it's another one of those things, you can sell it, but I'm not going to buy it. I'm not buying it. Go ahead.
Sell another
it.
Segment.
You're free to sell it. Fire away, but I'm not buying it.
Well, a lot of people were buying. They were buying Tiger and Peyton. That's who I bought. That was my bet. I think you had the same bet on. There were a lot of bets placed. The biggest bet that I heard about was 15,000 on Tiger and on Phil. And I think there was a lot of bets being placed down in Mississippi. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by our man, Craig Ray, who's going to be calling in. Director of Tourism for the state of Mississippi and visitmississippi.org is going to fill us in on everything that happened down in Mississippi, because they've opened the casinos. Finally, I can get down there, Barney, and I can place my master's bet. All right,
true.
That's next. Global Golf Radio.
Right now.
Making a turn on Global Golf Radio, Ned Michaels. And not really alongside Barney Allery, but in spirit we are. I'm in my house. Barney is his house. We're on the phone. It's still quarantine time. Hopefully we'll get in the studio here in the next couple of weeks. This segment brought to you by visitmississippi.org. They're open. And thank goodness they are, Barney, because it is time for us to get down to the beach, get down to the Beau Rivage, eat some of their world famous seafood and chicken for you. You can have the chicken or the seafood, whatever you want. And play some golf. They've got over 140 world-class golf courses. Fallen Oak, of one of the gems, it's pretty much annually voted the best golf course on the PGA Tour Champions Circuit. And I'm ready to place my Masters bet. I always like to take this time to stretch out, do my best Johnny Miller, and remind everybody that I picked Tiger to win the Masters last year, and I did it in a bet in Mississippi. And as such, we're going to welcome a man who I still owe $10 to because I asked him to place a bet for me last year that did not pan out. He is the director of tourism for the state of Mississippi. He's our good friend, Craig Ray. T. Ray, welcome to the show.
Guys, welcome. Welcome to Mississippi via the phone. And it is so good to be on the air with y'all, as always, and just really yearning to get out on the golf course. We're hoping to be fully open for business here soon, and just so good to be on the air and talk about Mississippi golf tonight.
Amen to that. Keep preaching. Tell us, fill us in. Where is everything right now in the state in terms of being open and the casinos and the sports books?
Well, we are, as of today, Ned and Barney, we are, I would say about 50% open. We had, at our casinos, had an opening date last week. Our goal was to get them open before Memorial Day weekend. And so the governor gave approval to have them open on Thursday of last week. They, I haven't seen all the numbers yet. I know they had a really just a crazy busy weekend under their new guidelines of 50% occupancy and just attention. The Beau Rivage chose to wait till June 1st to open, so they have not opened yet. Their sister property, the Gold Strike in Tunica, opened up this week. So we're just soft opening on the casinos next week, museums, other outdoor facilities, sporting events will be open. Restaurants last week were open at 50% occupancy. And so we're really crawling, baby stepping into this. So the governor's really given some great guidance with our health officials on really taking our time and getting to that point. But I feel like the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, we might be able to say that we're completely open for business and we'll go from there. But we're being very careful, like all should be. And they're really anxious to be open from the tourism side.
Well, obviously, Barney and I always look through things selfishly in our own viewpoints, and we want to get to Mississippi. So we're going to come down. We're going to eat seafood. We're going to go to Beau when it opens. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people in Nashville, and I'm sure everywhere, we're ready to get out, right? We're ready to take trips. We're ready to explore a little bit. And there's so many things that Mississippi offers that a lot of people don't even know about. And from a golf perspective, I mean, this is the golf show, so that's where we'll start. But, of course, Fallen Oak, just a spectacular property. What a golf course. Dancing Rabbit. I mean, they're endless. But the thing that always surprises me about Mississippi, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore, is the culture that goes along with it, the food that goes along with it. If you were coming from Nashville, Craig, what trip would you put together to get out of this quarantine once we start to break out and can travel again?
What I would do from Nashville, it's a 1-2 punch, but I would go the Gulf Coast, because if you're in Nashville, you want to get out of Nashville. You want to see the water. You want to see a beach. You want to see the coastline. You want to see casinos. You want to see as many great restaurants as you can find. And, you know, 15 unbelievable golf courses all within a 10-mile radius all on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I would go there first just because you have so much and you're in quarantine and you want fresh air. You want to get out and you want to see and stretch out. I know I've been that way. You know, I'm tourism director and I couldn't travel for the last couple of months. I can now, so I'm equally as excited. And secondly, I would, just an easy drive from Nashville, I would go to the north central part of our state. I would go to Old Waverly, Mossy Oak, Dancing Rabbit, to that region of the state. Gives you some great gaming opportunities and then just a wonderful choice of golf courses. I personally, to get out of my quarantine next weekend, I'm going to staying at the new Caddis, the new cottages at Mossy Oak and playing golf for 3 days, Old Waverly, Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, and staying there and enjoying their newly opened golf course clubhouse, which has been in quarantine as well. But they'll be open next weekend for all of our golf travelers. So that's your 1-2 quick punch just to get out, get some fresh air, and get this thing going again.
Now, Craig, are you talking about the cottages that Bob Mueller almost hit with the wayward tee shot, or are those different cottages?
No, those are I'm thinking you swung hard on number 10 there and hit those cottages, but they have built up some trees and built up that left rough on number 10, so I will stay there and don't have to worry about yahoos like you hitting some bad shots.
I know those cottages are fabulous. And again, your memory might be slipping, because as I recall, it was Bob Mueller to hit a shot in that general direction. Maybe it was a subliminal way for us to get a closer look at the cottages. Maybe that's how it all played out. But I know that those cottages are absolutely fabulous. And you're exactly right. And Ned and I can't wait to get back as well.
Well, at Mossy Oak, they are building their new clubhouse. So next time you come down, we will stay at Mossy Oak and their new clubhouse right there on number 10 green, number 10 tee off, and we'll stay there on that side of the course. And then, of course, you'll have the Old Waverly experience too. So that is waiting for you, and we need to get back down to Jackson. We haven't talked about Jackson that much. Jackson, through this time frame, we've had another stall project, but the old Refuge golf course out by the airport is now owned by the Sheraton, and it's a $50 million rebuild convention center resort in Jackson at the airport. So next time you come down, I'd love for you all to stay there. We'll do the Mississippi Gulf Coast and then have Jackson as a central part, and then we'll hit up Mossy Oak and Old Waverly.
Awesome.
Well, I can't make it next weekend, but I'm good the following weekend.
Well, how's your swing? Actually, y'all been inside just practicing, like watching old replays of Masters golf, or what have y'all been doing?
Well, Nashville just started opening. We're at 75%-ish. But, yeah, basically I've been staying inside watching golf, practicing in the mirror, and I don't even know what I've been doing. Barney's been teaching. Barney's more social than I've been, that's for sure.
No, so that's it. So I've been moderately busy, and things have been picking up here. Naturally, the weather's had a lot to do with it and stuff, but as I've increasingly been getting busy, I feel that the need for a little vacation is also coming along eventually, and no better place to go than the beautiful state of Mississippi.
Well, guys,
hey, C-Ray, a quick update for you. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Mississippi is uniquely in this time frame, you know, we're a 95% drive-in market. So we feel like during this time of recovery and confidence for the traveler, as they will, I know I would be, just really not real confident to fly right now, either locally, domestically, regionally, nationally, internationally. But drive-in market strong, and we feel like we'll be really poised to really benefit as soon as all the markets are open, and especially on a golf side. So golf courses have done real well, guys. I mean, clubhouses are closed, but you come out, play, pick up your golf cart, pick up some food at the turn. Just we're not serving inside, but our golf mm-hmm. rounds are up for the year, and so we're excited about that, and that's without the casino courses that just opened up this past week.
Again, we're joined by Craig Ray, Director of Tourism for the state of Mississippi. And Craig, I want to dive deeper a little bit on something you just hit on, because I am curious about this in the sense of the Director of Tourism, and your career has spanned all the way to the White House. So arguably nobody has more experience in this realm, in this arena, than you. But even you have never seen a pandemic. How does this affect how you all think from a tourism perspective? Because I know that Mississippi was really starting to pick up on their international tourism. So I'm curious how you all now pivot to accommodate for coronavirus.
Well, Ned and Barney, we can only do so much in our end. This is a unique time, and that the whole world is at a level playing field. And so it's not me competing with my neighbors. It's not me competing with New York and others. I mean, the whole world is going through the same challenge. So when that usual traveler that we would have promoted to come to the United States, to Mississippi, from the UK, from Germany, France, from all over the world, now they can't travel. We can't travel to their countries. When they can travel, they'll have quarantine issues. They will have issues of just getting out of their country. And so they still want to travel. The world loves to travel, okay? Love will find a way, the song says, but travel will find a way. People love to travel. And so in your first trip, if you're from Germany, UK, somewhere in Spain, France, Italy, maybe in that first year, you're not going to feel comfortable traveling all the way to the United States, but you might feel that you want to go somewhere. So you're going to a nearby country, just like we would. Like, I want to get out of Mississippi. I want to travel to Nashville. I want to travel to Dallas. I want to go somewhere nearby, somewhere I can go, just same geography. But after a year or so, after this all settles down and we get back, they will come back in a big, robust way. They'll come back to the United States. They'll come back to the South and they'll travel. But right now, it's going to take a while. And the international market, we feel, will be a little bit slower for those very reasons. But from a domestic standpoint and a regional standpoint, a southern standpoint, we feel like, you know, that our market will really pick up. And thank goodness for golf and thank goodness for SEC football. And we get those two things back, then all life will be okay.
Mm-hmm. And thank goodness for the sports books, because Mississippi had the foresight, you all had the foresight to walk it through the legislation years before a lot of the neighboring states have even begun to think about it. And so as live sports start to come back online, guess who's going to be right there, ready to take your bet, ready to get you in a hotel room, ready to put you on the golf course? Mississippi.
We are so ready for not only the casinos that are opened, and we've taken our time there and just kind of walked slowly, but sportsbook is so key. So we're really excited about all sports opening up and sportsbook coming right behind it. We had three great record years here in Mississippi for tourism. We know that it wasn't our fault. It wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't that the economy turned around. The pandemic hit. We can get through this, but our product is the same. We're still great people. We have a great product, music, culinary, gaming, beaches. We're all here, and ultimately, number one, golf. So we haven't changed. We're here. We still love everybody, and we want to welcome everybody back.
Meanwhile, I just packed my entire car as you were talking. Pop up just went in, and
I'm on my way down.
That didn't take long. Come on, Barney.
Yeah, suddenly my schedule just cleared up a little, like Ned.
And Craig, Barney, it's so good to talk with you, buddy.
Well, good talk to you. And so sorry that our golf tournament, the Rapiscan, was rescheduled for next year. And Barney, I promise you're still on our team, so we still have our team together. Yeah, so keep your game together, because you're still on our team for next year.
And they're big shoes to fill, because Craig Ray last time holed out like from 120 yards and then almost made an ace two holes later. You better bring your A game, Barney.
Craig, my training starts tonight.
Love it. Love it. Well, Steve Azar said to say hello, and we're working on his golf tournament. I'm actually going up to his golf course next week, playing his tournament, And we do so many great things in Mississippi, not just with golf, but fundraising, golf tournaments. And we just love everything y'all do. Appreciate you having us on the show. And we appreciate being a good sponsor. We look to do more with you. Thanks, guys.
Well, Mara, thank you so much, Craig. Appreciate it. And it feels like we're all waiting on Joe right now. It's the famous Steve Azar song, by the way.
Just, you need to play some music, kind of on the intro and outro like Steve does on his shows. We have to do some Mississippi music coming in for us.
You know what? When we're back in studio, if we're ever back in studio, consider it done.
All right.
Ray, you are the man. Have a good evening. Thanks again for everything that you do with us and for us. Such an honor to be involved with you guys.
And Craig,
Barney, I'm ready, man.
Stay safe, okay. You and your daughter, and say hi to Rachel as well. Hope she stays safe, too.
I sure will, guys. Thank you so much.
Barney, I'm ready to go to Mississippi. I got to be honest with you. Ready to go to the beach.
I
want some shrimp. I want, like, the boil. Want some golf. I'm over quarantine. I had a tooth fall out, Barney. A whole tooth.
I don't know.
How does that happen? How does that happen? The whole thing. I got to have oral surgery on Tuesday of next week. Quarantine's kicking my butt.
So, Ned, are we going to start?
Struggle's real.
Are we going to pick up our last segment with that right there and how that happened?
I'm already in Mississippi. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. Yeah, I guess we will. Let's do that. Let's pick up with, I did have a tooth completely fell out. I'm working on a new golf swing, Barney, and I want your thoughts on it, considering that you're, as always, you're not a former instructor of the year in Middle Tennessee. Once you win it once, you are always an instructor of the year. So I want your eyes and at least your ears on what I'm working on in my golf swing, because I got a big weekend coming up.
Nice.
So let's do that. Yeah. All right, Global Golf Radio, 104.5 The Zone.
Worried about the economy.
All right, everyone, welcome back into Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Allery. You can find me at Simplifying Golf. You can also find me on the driving range out at the Riverside Golf Center. And I'm also, of course, joined by my buddy Ned Michaels. And now Ryan Albanese also shares with us that Dylan's also online. And I guess he's going to give us a weekly update here. Dylan, how you doing?
Hey, guys, having a really good night. You guys got me thinking about Mississippi. I would probably go to Oxford. I'm a big William Faulkner fan, being an English major, and I think he's one of the best riders we've ever seen. So his house is still preserved down there. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Just, you guys got me thinking about Mississippi. So I've never been. I got to go.
You do have to
absolutely.
Go. We should put together a big trip.
That'd be great.
Let's leave tomorrow morning. I'm in.
I'll be there. Hit me up on Twitter. But so about the match with Tiger and Peyton. So I was playing golf out at Two Rivers, which is looking amazing, by the way. On Sunday we recorded it, and so we went and watched, and that was great. I love Tom Brady ripping his pants. I loved it. That was just the best, especially after holing out, which you guys brought up. There's a conspiracy about it, and I need to go back and watch that, because the way he was playing to hit a shot like that, it almost makes sense, though. I mean, how crazy that game is. But, man, and ripping his pants. Oh, God, I loved it. So funny. it was great. Peyton was out there. He had the tumbler with the tri-star on it. Did you notice that? The little Tennessee flag?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
he was
ripping everybody. Yeah, and it was really fun. It was great. And Steph Curry would be awesome, like you said earlier. He would be great. You know who would be the best, though? And I think it's impossible to get this guy to do it, but you get Michael Jordan in a celebrity golf tournament, because he plays golf like every day,
right?
You get him out there, that would be incredible television. I don't know if it could happen, but
then it'll happen. He just opened his new golf course. I bet they'll do it at his golf course with Jordan and with Steph Curry. That'd be fantastic. Although,
oh my gosh,
I
got to go that now. But, yeah, tape was great. Anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and you guys have a great night.
All right. Thanks again, Dylan.
Mm-hmm. All right, bye-bye.
And Ned, before you with this about your tooth and your new golf swing, how's your hair looking?
Terrible. Absolutely horrible. I'd be embarrassed to say that Uncle Classic Barbershop is my barbershop because I haven't been there in months. They are open now. I actually was texting with the owners. They're locally owned, Barney. So if you know, as businesses start to come back online, there's 35 million people unemployed. We have to support our local businesses. We have to support our local people. And Uncle Classic Barbershop is owned by people who live in Nashville. It is locally owned. So if you need a haircut, just Google UncleClassicBarbershop.com. You can make an appointment at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online. I've got this. I told you last week. I am so stupid. I didn't clip in my razor, my beard razor, all the way. And when I looked up, I just completely scalded the right side of my face, and the left side was still like half an inch long. So I've been trying to grow it out to equalize it, but I'm going to treat myself to the straight razor shave that they have there. I mean, it is decadent. It is glorious. It is delicious. And I'm going to get a haircut because my hair now, I can put my bangs in my mouth. So I guess that's a good thing.
Wow. Maybe.
But it looks terrible. So Uncle Classic Barbershop, support them, support your local businesses, and you're going to look better. That's a win.
But sure enough, what you're also saying is that now this has reached a critical status, and this situation must be dealt with by trained professionals, such as the ones that you'll find at Uncle Classic.
Yes, and I love that you have a drop-down. You can have their senior barbers, and then you know, they have different categories of barbers, and just it's a good place. They do it right. What I am trying to do right, Barney, is clean the golf club properly.
Uh-huh.
I've spent many hours in quarantine thinking about it, thinking about my golf swing. It repeated itself-ish. And I was trying to think about, okay, why, what's happening, where, you know, all these different ideas of the golf swing. And I finally came up with a drill that I think gets me in the right position and I think is really easy for people to practice. So here's the drill. You grip the club with just two fingers of each hand. All right, so basically you take your grip, and then I use my thumb and index finger. And so mm-hmm. you can't manipulate the club at all. And so the idea is all you're doing is supporting the club in these two fingers per hand that you're using. And you have to use your body to swing the club. So at no point are you allowed to lift or have really any weight in your fingers as you manipulate the club. So basically gravity and your body motion is going to swing the golf club. Now I can only mm-hmm. do it at, you know, I can only hit balls maybe like 15 yards. And most of the time I whiff or I top it. But once I get in a rhythm of hitting kind of four or five shots in a row, A, hit them, and then B, hit them in the center of the face, and then C, hit them towards my target, I will then just step up and make a few regular swings and hit shots. And I'm flushing it. So I'm curious on your thoughts of this invention that I've made.
With your drill, practice. I would also easily add and recommend the possibility of getting your feet closer together. And then I would absolutely recommend that this should probably be done probably with a 7-iron. It's probably one of my favorite clubs. I would also probably recommend putting the ball about a half inch up on a tee. And in your own words, expecting to hit a shot that would go anywhere from probably about 15 to absolutely probably not much more than 40 or 50 yards. To try to hit this thing 100 plus yards is you're defeating what you're trying to do. But Ned, in your own little way, you've actually tapped into another little Barneyism of sorts. That let me put it to you this way: three things that we've got to try to achieve. One, can you hit the center of the face? And then if you're not hitting the center of the face, can you figure out where you are hitting on the club? Is it low? Is it too high? Is it in the toe and the heel, otherwise known as left and right? Or so then that's it. So then can you find the center of the face? Can you figure out how to adjust to then find the center of the face? And then immediately after that, can you at least hit the ground at or in front of the ball? So those two things have to happen first. Then after that, can you then send the ball in the right direction, and then the trajectory, we can worry about that a little bit later. But at the top of the pyramid, can you find the center of the face? Can you hit the ground where you're supposed to? And can you get the ball going in a good direction? And then
I am telling you to do this with something that doesn't go a whole lot further than, let's say, maybe a wedge of some sort and trying to hit it maybe 10 to 20, 25 yards. And if you can, now you've just earned the right. You've just bought yourself the idea of trying to hit it another 10 yards past that. And if you can do that, can you hit it 10 yards past that one? In other words, start increasing the swing and increasing the speed. Can you start hitting 10 yards past that? Then can we move to maybe a pitching wedge? And then, again, if you can achieve those three things, can you hit 10 yards past that? Then can you do it maybe with a 9-iron? And on and on and on. And where, and either at what size or what speed, does it all start to break down? And then from there, bring it back. Don't keep pushing forward. Just because you can swing bigger, harder, faster, probably doesn't mean you should. If either the contact is compromised, where you hit the ground is compromised, or the direction is completely lost, dial it back.
It's interesting you say that, because I got to the point where, again, I'll do this drill, and literally the ball doesn't go above my waist. And maybe if I hit it flush, it goes 25 yards in the air. But I got to where, I mean, it was a laser show up to a 7-iron. I was looking around. You know when you're hitting the ball really good on the range and you kind of look around to see if anybody's watching you? It was one of those deals. And I've been doing it for – I've actually hit balls kind of two or three times a week for the past couple of weeks. I'm looking around and like, hey, is anybody else watching this? Because you should be filming this golf swing right now, because this is an absolute stripe show. I mean, I'm literally bouncing balls off the flag. And I'm just kind of looking around. I hope somebody's acknowledging how impressive this is. But as soon as I get to the 5-iron, I'm striking oil. I'm hitting, the divots are just skanky. The contact's terrible. The ball's gone all over the joint. So I kind of dial it back and then kind of go back up. And, you know, so I get into a little bit of a rhythm. But interesting and terrific advice. You should think about teaching golf.
And without being there to see it, if it breaks down in the 5, unless it's a situation that you're trying to the size of the swing gets bigger than it should, or the amount of energy gets bigger than it should, on my sliding scale, I would venture a guess that you're coming in too steep instead of starting to come in a little shallower. I'm always going to gravitate towards thinking in terms of coming in just a little bit shallower, because you can come in a little steeper with the wedges and look like a shining star. And so sure enough, a lesson I had 2 days ago with a young man that has improved greatly. Of course, I'm not going to mention his name, but his short irons, for instance, he was hitting his short irons magnificently. Driver was awful, because when he comes in, let's say 4 degrees down with a 9-iron, that's fantastic. When he comes in 4 degrees down with a driver, he can't get it airborne. And so, and then his 5-iron, the swing breaks down in a 5-iron. He can pull off a 7 and hit like a low piercing shot. 6 is still good. 5-iron's a mess. Up to the driver's a complete mess. And so that's it. So in those mid-irons, you got to look to come in a little shallower. And then, of course, I want you swinging up as much up as you humanly can, pretty much within reason, with a driver. So I got a feeling you're coming in a little too steep with the 5-iron instead of shallower.
No doubt, because by the time I left, there was bubbling crude coming out of the ground. $35 a barrel right now. I'll take it, baby. Anyway,
yeah,
I think that's it. Here's a jingle.
I think that's going to do it. We'll have to save your tooth for next week.
Oh, I'm having surgery on Tuesday. Pray for me. See you guys next week. Global Golf Radio, we're out.